From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 20th day of March 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker from CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. And Matt Bennett will be here from TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. He'll help us take a look at the cash grain market along the way. Drew Lerner will update the weather forecast. It looks like a cold one. Mike Tenor is out on vacation this week. Drew tells us about the first full day of spring, which is tomorrow. We came into spring this afternoon during the noon hour, by the way, with a vernal equinox. And tomorrow will be a great day, kind of like today, even a little bit better. But oof, then we turn cold for 4 or 5 days. It's just part of our winter season, I suppose, this year. Drew will help us take a look at the beginning of spring as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For a Thursday afternoon, nearby May wheat at $7.03 in the soft red, down 12 cents today. July at $7.05, 11.5 lower. The hard red July finished at $7.76, down 6.25. May corn futures at $4.78, down 9.25. July 9.25 lower as well at $4.83. The September settlement price at $4.81, and the corn futures 8.5 cents lower. In December contract at $4.80. That's your harvest month. It finished 8 cents lower. March corn at $4.89 for next year, down 7.75. The May down 8 at $4.94.5. May soybeans $14.33, 2.5 higher. July down 3/4 at $14.10. August at $13.53, 5.25 lower, and September soybeans at $12.50, down 4.75. November contract, the harvest month, $11.89, down 1.5. January at $11.94. Next year's Jan contract down 1.5 cents. Bean meal at $4.66.50, up $4.50. Bean oil at $41.31, 79 cents lower for the day. Live cattle in the April at $144.42.5. Finished $1.70 lower. June at $136.20, down $2.07. March feeders 77.5 lower at $173.62.5, and lean hogs up 65 at $124.80. In the April, May at $126.50, down 40. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, April contract, $99.43 a barrel, down 94 cents. The RBOB price of gasoline or wholesale price at $2.88.09, that's up 2 cents. Ethanol futures at $2.80.1 per gallon, up 9.5 cents. And the spread between the two is just 8.8 cents wide now. That's 7.4 cents narrower, and the narrowest spread that we've read on the air since starting to keep track of this last August. Natural gas at $4.37.1 is down 11.3 cents for the day, and diesel fuel at $2.91.8 is 1.7 cents higher. Gold futures at $1,330.50 an ounce, down $10.80 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, mostly sunny skies, a high of 54 degrees tonight, a 20% chance of rainfall after 1 a.m. at a low of 37. Tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers after 4 in the afternoon, mostly sunny and 65 degrees. Friday evening, mostly cloudy, then becoming mostly clear and a low of 34. Saturday, sunny and 47. Saturday night, cloudy and 26. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of just 37 degrees. Sunday night, clear and a low of 20 degrees. Monday, partly sunny and 39. And Monday night, a chance of snow. Mostly cloudy and a low of 25 degrees. Tuesday, cloudy and 38. Tuesday night, partly cloudy and 22. And on Wednesday, sunny skies with a high near 40 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast closer to the bottom of this half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 20th day of March 2014. On the phone line with us to help us take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
It is the very first day of spring, and sounds like we're going to have at least here some spring-like weather, maybe tomorrow and a bit this afternoon, but then we get colder again, and I don't know. I guess we're not going to plant corn in March, huh?
Well, I don't think so. Maybe the second week of April, if things dry out.
You're going to have to make a run to Texas to see corn planting.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot done in the Corn Belt, at least until we get toward the end of April. It looks like the temperatures want to stay cold enough, and maybe there's going to be enough moisture around that nobody's going to get a lot done. But it'll be, a week of nice, sunny, warm weather, which you guys definitely deserve up there. Can do a lot in today's. A lot of farmers have put new tile in the ground, so things can dry out pretty quick. But it does look like we're going to get off to a generally slow start to start with anyway.
In Chicago, futures in the wheat pit were lower, corn and soybeans following suit. It appears that may have been on ideas that the problems in the Crimea, at least the tensions, are beginning to diffuse a bit.
Well, that is a factor, but I think this is the time of year that you can about spread any kind of rumor and the market will grab it. I think easing tensions is part of that. I think one of the reasons is there was rumors today that Brazil was maybe going to cancel a U.S. hard red winter wheat sale and maybe buy some Ukraine black sea wheat. So that was kind of in the wheat market here today to kind of help fuel the decline after we made new highs for the year. So, price action wise, the wheat market kind of looks like it kind of exhausted itself for this rally over the past week or two, where that's really kind of been a rocket shot up to the $7 level, has probably been exhausted, and now the market's probably going to go into some consolidation and see how things do work out in the Crimea. I think the trade is worried about civil unrest, civil war type activity that would maybe stop or limit export out of that country. That's always a problem when you get into a situation like this. But fundamentally, when you look here in the United States, we do have, dry weather in the southern plains. The hard red winter wheat crop rating levels took a pretty good hit last week. When you look at what happened in Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas, and I know Texas really doesn't count very much in the wheat complex, but it does, definitely show the dryness. And then I think there's going to be worries about spring wheat plantings in the Dakotas. I think they're still buried under 5 foot of snow. Not sure, but there's going to be a long time before they can start probably working in the field when you get up in that northern area. So we'll have to see how much follow-through we have, but, the way the market acted today in wheat, you'd have to say that we've exhausted the current rally for a while, and now it's time to settle back and have some consolidation and probably see what USDA's report's all about.
And at the end of the month, we both get the acreage numbers on the 31st. I believe that's a Monday, along with the grain stocks figures. Some acreage figures have been trickling out from sources, and boy, there's some interesting ones that raise up the soybean numbers and drop the corn numbers pretty dramatically, too.
Well, like I said, I think you can about put anything on the table right now, and the market will run with it. There's clearly no doubt that we're, USDA's forum numbers, there's upwards of maybe 4 million acres that they didn't account for. And then you can kind of, try to guess where you want to put them. I mean, the corn-soybean ratio in new crop has been hanging in this 2.4 range to 1.
Right.
And that really doesn't encourage soybean plantings. If anything, that's kind of a neutral number. I think it encourages soybean plantings in the fringe areas where they have where they don't have real high productive soils or but if you get into the main heart belt of the black dirt area, you know, that's going to stay in corn unless a farmer wants to just kind of pull back. He's been real heavy on corn and he doesn't want to do any more corn on corn acreage again. So I'm not sure we're going to see a total big jump in soybean acres, but I just about every place I went last winter, I did hear more chatter about soybean acres, whether it was Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, southern Illinois, Missouri, Arkansas. So I do believe the fringe areas are going to see more soybean acres. Corn acres, I think this rally here has probably bought some corn acres, but supposedly the March 1 survey is not necessarily supposed to reflect the March strength, but it definitely maybe will reflect the rally that we had during December. I mean, the $4 cash corn bid is not very attractive to farmers these days, but now since, you know, prices have kind of rallied back to the 450 area in some areas, that could have put more corn on the table. So that'll be an interesting report. I mean, as whatever is going to come out, you know, USDA is going to use, they won't show a balance sheet that day. They'll wait till the March report to trace out a balance sheet. But the trade will trace out a balance sheet using these lofty yield numbers. So everything will be interpreted as somewhat bearish from basically what USDA form numbers were if they do come out larger. And then we always have this appearing and disappearing 500 million bushels of corn. That could reappear again in ending stocks. Just about everybody acknowledges that the billion bushel increase in feed and residual use over a year ago looks lofty, but we'll see. I think there's worry in the trade that USDA could maybe drop that 300 million and or 400 and maybe put that in ending stocks. We'll have to see, you know, on that point. So corn definitely is set up to maybe see some bearish numbers, higher acres than what the form number was, maybe not as strong a feed and residual usage number. So I think that's what you're going to – that's what one of the reasons I think got into corn. Corn's been lagging all along, even while wheat and soybeans have been having a pretty good run to the upside.
You know, when you look at the charts for both the May beans or the lead option and the Novembers, and you think about the 1460, because we've been close to that twice in the May, and November's been tapped on 12, not quite got there, a couple of times on the daily charts. And I don't know, what do you see technically there?
Oh, daily charts look bearish. Now, when you look at the monthly chart or the weekly chart, maybe you can, there's some hope for the bull. But, you have to say that at least today's action put a double top formation in play.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but I wanted you to.
but you got to look at the way we closed. I mean, actually, May did finish, a couple pennies higher, and yep. The losses in the other contracts were generally modest. November was only down a penny and a half. So there's room to negate that that double top formation. I think I was writing my comments here for this evening and was explaining that point that, yes, it does have a double top in it, but in order to really validate it, you need to see some pretty hefty follow-through declines either tomorrow or early next week, and we may get those. There's all kinds of rumors today of China canceling soybean purchases out of Brazil. That was one of the reasons that took it off as high here today. But, yeah, you have to definitely, from a technical point of view, any technician that's long the market is probably going to get out if he didn't, if he isn't already out just because of that formation, and to see whether or not it's valid or not. So you do have that on the table. And so, you know, that I think it just makes USJ's report at the end of the month all that important to the soybean complex, whether or not they find an extra 50 million bushels, or maybe they might lose 50 million, who knows. But last year they found, I think, 50 or 60 million, and that kind of eased a lot of the supply tightness. But the soybean market stayed strong all the way into August last year.
Hey, Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now, coming up next, you might think that bags is strictly a summertime affair, but Lisa Braltz and her southeastern Urbana neighbors have taken the game to an all-new level in this edition of Backyard Industry.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue, beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more, slow-cooked over a wood-fired smoker. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. And from Common Ground Food Co-op, now at Lincoln Square Mall, featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. Learn more on their website at www.commonground.coop.
I'll tell you one thing I've missed during this long winter, and I was a little surprised I missed it. You might think it has something to do with gardening, like weeding. No, I don't miss weeding. There are a lot of food-related things I've been missing, grilling for one, and the ability to go into the yard and harvest much of our dinner without thinking too hard about it. But what have I really missed? Lawn games. Well, one specific lawn game, cornhole, also known as bags. You know, the game you've seen people play when they're tailgating, throw the beanbag or the corn bag onto the board, possibly in the hole if you're good. That game. I should explain. Our neighborhood in southeast Urbana is known in certain circles as a pretty convivial one. In the past, our yard, along with that of Chris and Melanie, our neighbors to the south, has been host to dessert potlucks, bonfires, and other gatherings designed to get people out of their houses and into the neighborhood. We've given garden tours of our own yard. We've watched tables groan underneath the weight of nothing but dessert. But a few years ago, something else started happening. We started throwing bags just for fun. And all of a sudden, bags became the third most important thing, the first being the desserts or the appetizers or whatever was on the grill or in the garage fridge, and the second being the presence of our friends and neighbors. The allure of bags, of a game, a little friendly competition, widened our circle of friends, too. Recent gatherings had become full-blown tournaments, complete with multiple playing setups, a bracket, and a referee, our long-suffering daughter Lily. 2013's final game of outdoor bags was thrown last October. By the time we got into January and through a couple of Arctic blasts, though, my husband Jim had had enough. He put his dreams of indoor cornhole into action. He had a chat with the owner of a downtown Urbana, Illinois establishment with a beautiful back room that fit all his criteria. A high ceiling is especially important, as is access to food and drink and maybe some cool art on the walls. And the midwinter cornhole party was born. After which, most recently, came the Lion versus Lamb indoor cornhole party.
We thought it was a great event. You know, you started it early enough that families could come, and there was lawn games indoors. And we've just been waiting to have some fun outside, but this is even better. We can be comfortable, and we don't have to worry about the kids running every which way.
Megan Gillette came to the Lion versus Lamb party with her husband, Kurt, and their three kids.
It's intimate, but there's plenty of space. The ceilings are high. You feel like you're not closed in, and it's nice and bright and open.
Some people, like Rob Cantor and Karen Carney, just came by to have a beverage and see what was going on.
I love the idea, and I'm really enjoying the space. I especially like the art on the walls here, but I don't think I'm going to play.
I think they'll be back. For most attendees, however, it was about playing the game, eating some pizza, drinking some beer. Most of all, it was about catching up and exchanging information, getting the news you can't get through Facebook. Long winters beget inertia in the months between the holidays and springtime, and despite the fact that most of us live, relatively speaking, much closer to our friends and neighbors than many people did 100 years ago, we still don't see each other very much before it gets warmer outside, when it's easier for us to gather. It was awesome to take charge of the situation, to not let the weather dictate our socializing. As guests packed up to go home from the Lion versus Lamb event, we reminded them that the next one, exact month yet to be determined, would be outside, back to the friendly confines of Southeast Urbana. But for a few months, it was so much fun to do our best to reconnect, to eat and play together, and to bring the outside inside. For Backyard Industry, this is Lisa Brawls.
Our thanks go to host Lisa Brawls and producer Dave Dickey for Backyard Industry.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check the cash grain market now with Matt Bennett at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Producers are probably looking at the numbers today and wondering, scratching, thinking, hey, wait a second, should I do more than I already have? What do you suppose they ought to be up to?
Well, I think a lot of guys here in the last, 3 weeks have caught up on some sales that they needed to make, and so if they have went ahead and done that, I feel like they're probably in good shape to watch it for now. A lot of guys we work with are pretty heavily protected as far as the new crop goes, and have most of their old crop stuff gone. So I feel like they're in pretty good shape.
And when you look forward to the planting season, thinking about how much will be put in the ground of each crop, corn and soybeans, that is, what are your thought processes?
Well, I have to think that beans are going to be pretty heavy like most guys. I mean, I'm still in that 81 range, somewhere in there. On corn, I still have to think we're 93 to 94. We may have encouraged a few more acres, of both corn and beans with this big rally, but I don't know what our total acreage is going to be. I think it might end up surprising us all on the high side, just simply because of the prevented plant acres last year and whatnot. But to me, bean acres are going to be the highest they've ever been. So be really interested to see where corn falls in.
And what do you think of the South American bean crop and how it plays into the total consumption pattern?
Well, I think, even with their production being off a little bit, there's still reason to believe our world supply is going to be adequate. But moving forward, I think a guy's got to lend credence to the fact that we're so tight here that it's definitely going to be, still keeping things pretty good as far as basis goes and as far as the lead months on futures go.
And what are your bids for the day? Do you know them?
Yeah, our cash corn be 454, fall 451, cash beans 14 a quarter, fall 1160.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's out of Windsor, Illinois, joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Back in a couple minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
It's National Agriculture Day. The celebration always occurs on the first day of spring, and it's coordinated by the Agriculture Council of America, whose mission is to share with every American where food and fiber products are produced. National Ag Day also shows appreciation for national farmers and ranchers who are responsible for the supply of food, clothing, and other commodities nationwide and globally. The first National Ag Day was in 1973. It's also National Ravioli Day and St. Cuthbert's Day, patron of shepherds. On this day in agricultural history in 1727, Sir Isaac Newton died. The story, of course, is that an apple falling on his head inspired his theory of universal gravitation. Few think Newton was really hit on the noggin, but rather that he likely came upon the idea of the power of gravity while sitting at the window of his mother's Lincolnshire estate. Newton is reported to have spied an apple falling from a tree while in a contemplative mood. Newton asked himself, why should the apple always descend perpendicular to the ground instead of going sideways or upwards? The apple, by the way, is thought to have been the green-skinned flower of Kent variety. And in 1932, Ilya Ivanovich Ivanov died. Ivanov was a Soviet biologist. While others had previously shown it was possible to artificially inseminate domestic animals, Ivanov developed the practical procedures in 1901. Initially working with horses, by the early 1930s, the procedure was being used on other farm animals as well. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. It's radio for the farming world. Mike Tenora is out for the afternoon, but Drew Lerner left us this update of the weather forecast.
Well, we are looking at a couple of shots of cold air. Surprise, surprise, right? We've seen nothing but surprising cold air masses since last November. We're in our sixth month of colder than normal bias conditions across the middle of the country. I don't know about you folks, but I'm getting a little tired of it. We are going to warm up. Today's the first day of spring, so we can celebrate with some warmer weather across the region today, but certainly we're not going to encounter any prolonged period of warmth here because already tomorrow we'll see colder air coming back into the region once again. This is going to set the stage for a prolonged period, actually about 5 or 6 days worth of rather cold conditions. And we're not talking about just a slight cooling bias here. We're talking about temperatures that are going to be in the northern Midwest, probably 20 to 30 degrees below normal for this time of the year. And for the lower Midwest, probably won't be quite as anomalous, but we'll still be seeing 15 to 20 degree departure from normal temperatures. So we're not playing around with this one. It's going to be significant. We're going to get freezes down into the lower Mississippi River Basin, portions of the Tennessee Basin, and also the interior southeast. And on top of all of that, we're probably going to have an opportunity for a snow event to possibly evolve in portions of Virginia and North Carolina, with a little bit of light snow possibly in the Ohio River Valley, portions of Tennessee and northernmost sections of Alabama and Georgia, as we get involved with some of the coldest weather coming up towards the early part of next week. So it's a real mess. Well, as we go through the afternoon, the temperatures will be warmer today. We'll look for the afternoon highs to peak out in the range of 30s and 40s in the Great Lakes region. Everybody else will be in the 50s with some 60s expected from Missouri into portions of Kansas and Nebraska. That warmer air will work its way into the lower eastern Midwest in a more significant manner tomorrow. We'll look for highs then expected to run mostly in the 60s, and a handful of lower 70s will occur. This will be from central Illinois and central Indiana southward into portions of Kentucky and Missouri. Now, we will see this being the last day of the warmth tomorrow. The northwestern part of the Corn Belt will already be turning quite a bit colder as we go through the afternoon tomorrow, and then as we move into Saturday, the cold air will quickly overspread most of the Midwest. Our coolest day will probably be Sunday, and the high temperature Sunday will be mostly confined to 20s across the northern Midwest. 30s and some lower 40s will occur in the south. And the low temperatures will probably drop down into some single digits and teens across the Great Lakes and the uppermost parts of the Mississippi Basin. Well, we'll be in the 20s across the south. Now, the reinforcing shot of cold air comes along for the early to middle part of next week, and we'll likely see the temperatures again dropping down into the teens and 20s across a big part of the Midwest, actually for lows probably on Wednesday morning next week. And that'll be a fairly impressive coolness. We're not expecting a lot of precipitation, though, across the Midwest anytime real soon. A couple of small sets of light snow will come across the region as the cold air shots work their way across the region. But most of these are not expected to accumulate in a significant manner. There will be some pockets that are accumulating, but for the most part, it'll be a not-so-bad precipitation week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks go to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City for that update of the agricultural weather forecast. This has been the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason.